For the first time since the Ravens franchise began in 1996, the Baltimore Ravens are hosting an AFC Championship game. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Ravens take care of business against the Houston Texans. 34-10, punched their ticket to the AFC Championship game where they'll meet the all-powerful Kansas City Chiefs, led by Patrick Mahomes, who's going to six straight AFC Championship games in his state. So, big shout-outs to them. We'll talk all about that Houston Texans game. We'll look forward to the AFC Championship game against those Kansas City Chiefs. We'll have former Super Bowl champion Brendan Nyamvejo for the Baltimore Ravens. He'll join us to talk all about the Ravens, all about what he believes will be the key to them reaching the Super Bowl for the third time in their history. But first, Ravens take care of business. Ravens beat the Houston Texans. They are some in the national media, maybe some locally, not very many, but mostly national, who thought that the Baltimore Ravens would lose to C.J. Stroud in the Houston Texans. Not really because the Texans were better than the Ravens. I don't think any sane person would agree with that notion. But the narrative that has been pushed since 2019, since Lamar Jackson lost to the Titans after gaining the one seed, the term rest versus rust was spoke about ad nauseum, even at this show, admittedly. Some people thought Lamar would choke like he always does, quote unquote. Not to be. Lamar Jackson does what he does best, and that's win games. We mentioned it here. All season long since August, Lamar Jackson finally has weapons, finally has targets, finally has an offense coordinator that knows how to game plan and use the pass instead of just having it out there as an accessory. It's okay to run and pass. It's 2023. And in the year 2023, well, actually 2024 now, the Ravens are going to the AFC Championship. The first time in Lamar Jackson's career. And it's going to be in Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium. M&T Bank Stadium, the place that was rocking on Saturday. I mean, six or seven delay of game penalties, illegal shifts, what have you. That's the Ravens fan base. So shout out to you guys. And I'm sure on Sunday, you guys will be even louder. But what an experience it was in the division around in the playoffs, and expect better things in the AFC Championship game. But let's talk about the narrative. Because again, the term 2019 is done. We don't mention 2019 in the state of Maryland. Definitely not in the city of Baltimore. That's squashed. As I mentioned last week, Lamar Jackson hadn't played a game in the postseason since his sophomore year as a full-time starter. That's how long it's been, guys. To hold him accountable without giving him an opportunity since his second full year as a starter is astronomically ridiculous. Absurd. So that's squashed. That's done. Lamar Jackson choking in the playoffs. Finito. Lamar Jackson unable to lift his team to victory. Done. No more. We now move on. We push ahead to a very, very pivotal must-win game, if there ever was one, outside of the Super Bowl, the conference championship. Well, Lamar Jackson will go up against possibly the GOAT, maybe even the GOAT of GOATs one day, and Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk about that game. But before we do, you got to bring it up. That outstanding defensive effort from the Ravens. We'll push Lamar Jackson to the side for a little bit and focus on what the defense was able to do for the Ravens. The defense has been stellar. C.J. Stroud came in after putting up almost 50 points against the Cleveland Browns, who, statistically speaking, are the best defense in the league, right? So pundits, analysts, highlight watchers, we're expecting more of the same. Not here at the Ravens Talk Podcast, no. We predicted a 34-16 win. The Ravens win 34-10. You win some, you lose some, but I think we got the message with my prediction. Convincing win. Convincing win, and it's led by that defense who really held C.J. Stroud to 3 points. That offense was held to 3 points. And some may say zero. More of a special teams problem. Headlined by the 7 points from that punt return in the second quarter that really started to shake a lot of Ravens fans' faith. Not me. I hadn't seen anything. How could you have possibly thought? We saw nothing from the Texans' offense to make us believe that they were going to put up much of a fight. It was a matter of when the Ravens' offense, not if, when the Ravens' offense would get their act together, when they would start to realize that, hey, the Texans plan on blitzing, let's do something about it. We are going to be a force on offense. We're going to dictate the pace of the game on offense. And that's exactly what happened. Lamar Jackson, man among boys, as usual, doing things no other person on the football field can do, as usual. More of the same. Ho-hum if you're a Ravens fan, but on the outside, if you're a guy just watching the Ravens for the first time or only watching them on primetime, you're seeing things like, oh yeah, he's the MVP. Not Josh Allen, who lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. Not Dak Prescott, who didn't even make it to the divisional round. Not Brock Purdy, who almost fumbled the bag and lost the game for the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, the guy who got it done and will continue to get it done. So that's my little spiel about that. When we get back, we'll have Brendan Iambadejo, former Raven, former Super Bowl champion, also went to the Super Bowl for the Chicago Bears. He'll come on next and talk all about the Ravens and what they had to do to reach that coveted Super Bowl championship match. Next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, as you mentioned, we have Brendan Iambadejo, three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion with the Baltimore Ravens. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Man, what's happening? I'm excited. It's going to be a big game this weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's a long time coming for Ravens fans. Not a lot of people, I guess no one has ever had the AFC Championship game in Baltimore as a Raven. I think you go back to the late 90s where the, not the 90s, but the 1900s when the Colts were having the AFC Championship, I think Super Bowl V. So it's been a minute. It's been a long time coming. Yeah. You're telling me. So the Ravens played the Chiefs, a team that many know very well, led by Patrick Mahomes. Many are considering the reincarnate of Tom Brady. But before we get to that, what are your thoughts about what happened with the Houston Texans game? Because some people are surprised and some not so much.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised. There's a big jump from good to great. So whether it was Tampa, whether it was Houston, you know, those were teams that were on the cusp teams and they made it basically the last day. They made it week 18 into the playoffs. So I was like, you know, they might do okay in the wild card. But when it comes to the divisional, I had a feeling they'd both get blown out. The team that was kind of scary was Green Bay because they were playing such a good ball. But, like, I wasn't surprised what happened to the Texans and what happened to Tampa at all.
Yeah, I think that the Texans were a team where, you know, they showed out in the wild card round against the Browns team that, you know, maybe a little bit overrated. But you go into the division round, you're playing these one seeds, and these type of things can happen. But you are a Super Bowl champion, especially with the Ravens. The last time the Ravens were in the AFC Championship game, you were a part of that roster. Are you seeing similarities between this team and that team when you were a part of or any differences that you noticed?
I mean, I think the exciting thing is you look at both Raven championships, you know, they had really good defenses, even though, you know, we had kind of the bend but don't break defense the year I was there and then the greatest defense in history. So I would say take the offense from the 2012 team and take the defense from the 2001 championship team. And then that is what you see in this 2023 team. So it's like they got our best offense, our best defense, and you put them together and that's what you're looking at.
Yeah. And you summed it up perfectly. I was thinking the exact thing. The offense is firing on all cylinders. The defense is playing historic football, similar to 2001. So you're right. This team is definitely looking like a team that is meshing together the best of both worlds, if you will. You're saying that, which makes me consider you to believe that this game is going to be tough for the Chiefs. I am in that realm of possibility as of now. Patrick Mahomes, of course, is a terrific quarterback. But as you mentioned, this team is historic. What are your thoughts about this matchup so far? Things that you see so far that pique your interest?
I mean, it's always just going to be interesting. You put Patrick Mahomes, you know, against Lamar. They're both amazing quarterbacks. And, you know, if they both show up and show out, then you know, there is no defending, you know, the perfect throw, the perfect catch, the perfect offensive scheme. There is no defending that. So there's a lot of things, you know, to be considered when you go into this game. And then you look at the special teams possibilities as well. So, you know, I love that we got Tucker. I love our special teams unit. Usually it's better so on the returning game than the coverage game.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think it has all the matchups for a special football game. And I'm just glad we're at home. So we're going to have that home field advantage when usually, you know, Kansas City has the advantage, and our defense. So I think it's going to be a hard fought game, but I think we should edge him out this one.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson, because in 2012, 2013, you guys had a quarterback in Joe Flacco that was still trying to get his place, I guess, with the narrative nationally as being one of the top QBs. Lamar Jackson, someone, no disrespect to Joe Flacco, with a ton of athletic talent, probably the best athletically gifted QB in the history of the game. How do you feel about the narrative? Do you believe that it's finally shifted it positively in his direction, or do you think he still has more to prove?
Well, he definitely has more to prove. You know, I think he's got two playoff wins under his belt now, but definitely has more to prove. But I think, you know, he's put in that weight on his shoulders as well. You know, when he was drafted, he says, I'm going to bring a Super Bowl to Baltimore. So he's the one who put it on his shoulders. But also being an MVP this year will be his second MVP that he's going to win. So when you have that, you know, when you're MVP caliber, you think of guys who are MVP caliber. For the most part, in recent years, they have Super Bowl championships, you know, on their belt as well. So he definitely has more to prove, being that he's such a great quarterback. If he didn't have the MVP notches, then, you know, maybe there's less pressure. But since he's an MVP, then he's got to bring home that championship.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good point. You are a special teamer. That was your mantra. But many people don't know that you're a very solid linebacker for the Ravens, one of the best. Roquan Smith, the guy who came in last year and has really made his imprint onto the game, definitely a fan favorite among Ravens fans. Talk about the similarities you may notice, or maybe differences between Ray Lewis and Roquan Smith.
Well, I think, you know, you have a very boisterous and spiritual leader, a great guy off the field and on the field. But more than anything, he makes the guys around him great. And that's what Ray did. And that's what Roquan does. And you see the difference in the defense since he's been there as well. And I think you look at Ray Lewis in our lineup and you can equate that to wins, less points scored, more turnovers, things that you want to see from a defensive leader when that defensive leader is on the field. So I think, you know, more than anything, he has a positive impact on the guys around him. And he's built for a city like Baltimore. Not that he wasn't built, because I'm the same. You know, I came from the Bears and went to the Ravens. He went from the Bears to the Ravens. I guess they're very similar organizations and very similar cities and teams in that, you know, we're built on defense and special teams. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of similarities there. And then once again, you know, you're talking about a perennial All-Pro, a perennial Pro Bowler, the same as Ray Lewis. So yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he could bring a championship or two, and then he can really be like Ray Lewis. He's got to get two.
Good point. Well, you were, again, a champion with the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh was the head coach then. He's still the head coach as of now. Because I was there in 2012 and 2013 when you guys won that championship as a reporter. You guys, the shift that John Harbaugh has made from that moment, maybe even a year prior to now, I've noticed it. But being a guy that's been in the locker room, can you talk about maybe any changes you've seen in his leadership style, or, you know, just overall coaching habits?
Man, well, I'll tell you what, he's always been malleable. And when you think of the word malleable, I think about bending metal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like, okay, so certain metals are malleable, and he's always been a guy that's, you know, made of steel, right? And so the difference now is that he's a little bit more, he's better than malleable now. He's actually bendable and he's willing to form and shift and change. Whereas before he was more so just malleable. So I think he's always going to do what is best for the locker room and what is best for the organization and what's best to have a winning culture. And you see him doing it. So I texted him the other day. I was like, what's this? You dance in the locker room now, or there's all this social media going on now, like all the things, you know, that you didn't do before and we couldn't do. You know, he bent in other ways, but I think it's great. And you see it with great coaches. You saw it with the man, I'm just blanking. What was the coach's name of the Seahawks that just retired? That came from
Pete
USC.
Carroll.
With Pete Carroll. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, he loves his guys. He's dancing with his guys. He's celebrating with his guys. He's giving high fives and hugs and all that. So you're seeing that a lot more with Coach Harbaugh. And so it's a beautiful thing to see. And it pops out at me right away. So I got to text him, oh, you dance in the locker rooms now, Harbs?
Oh, man. I mean, the Harbaugh I know when we used to do media scrums daily, definitely stoic guy, but he definitely was the type of guy to bend to his players when necessary, and it's definitely funny to see him shift now. I think it might be because, you know, he has a daughter. You know, I have a daughter now. I'm softened up as I've gotten older. So I think that might have a little bit to do with that. He's getting a little older, longer in the tooth, and he's adapting well. So that's it's pretty awesome to see both as a fan and as a journalist.
Yeah, you know what I think a good analogy is that when you're a parent and you have your kids, you know, you want to run your ship a certain kind of way. But then all of a sudden, when you become a grandparent, you have all this additional wisdom, and then you want to spoil and love on your kids even more. And they say being a grandparent is one of the greatest jobs. And not that Harbs is old, but right. I think he's entering into that granddaddy phase. I mean, he's one of the top three tenured coaches in the NFL, or maybe the second, I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyways, he went, you know, when I was there, obviously, like, he came in 2008, that was his first year, and went on a historic run of all these playoffs and being a young coach and whatnot. But now he's in that granddaddy phase. You got coaches like Coach McVay that are still young, you know? But yes, I think he's kind of in that granddaddy phase, and he just is loving every single moment. And he still has a lot in the tank, but I think we're kind of just seeing him transition to a mode of even more greatness.
Yeah. And you hit that analogy right on the head. It's definitely fun to see. Definitely good on him. And some fans are thinking, hey, he wins the Super Bowl, might be his last try, but I think he has a couple of years left in the tank. He's still one of the top head coaches in the league. And he still looks young. He looks good. He's taking probably some fitness advice from you, because there's a lot of older guys and younger guys in the league, and he's definitely got that youth to him.
Yeah, no, I think when I was there, you had a culture of the coaches always in the workout room working out. So even Ozzie, I mean, Ozzie would be in there all the time working out. He'd be on that stair mill, treadmill. Coach Harbaugh, 225 on the bench.
Bam, 225.
Let's go. Yeah, 225. He wasn't playing. So, yeah, I mean, he's a fit guy. He's a healthy guy. He's an intelligent guy. And that, you know, that fitness lifestyle comes with, you know, intelligence and greatness as well. So, it's great to see. And I think, you know, he looks like he's still training and working out. He's still in great shape. So yeah, he's just going to stay younger even longer.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the game. I think I kind of know where you're headed with it, but Chiefs, Ravens, AFC Championship, Werner goes to the Super Bowl. Let's get your pick.
Man, I'm trying to book my trip to Vegas right now. So
I think we're going to win
this ball game. I think it's going to be a close ball game, but if it's not close, then obviously I don't want to say we're going to dominate them, but you know, just look what we did last weekend. Really, you know, was it 10? They gave up 10 points, and 7 of it was on special teams. So really gave up 3 points in the game. So I think, you know, the defense is hitting on all cylinders. Lamar has really found his stride right on time, and the team is peaking At right on time. That's why everyone slept on us the whole season. No one talked about the Ravens all season, and we were steady beating really good teams. Yeah, we lost to Pittsburgh a couple times, and we lost to freaking Indianapolis. Right. But like, nobody was really talking about us all year long, and so that's how, we know, you want to fly under the radar. You want to, you know, you don't want people to see how talented you are, but then you also want to peak at the right time. And I just think we're peaking at the right time. And let's go. I think it'd be great if we could do what Kansas City has been doing. And from now on, let's have the AFC Championship go through Baltimore from now on. Let's make a run and let's do that. But I think we got this one.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. Definitely more AFC Championship games here. I don't want this to be a long time period before we get another one. So definitely agree with you there. Well, Brendan, I appreciate you joining the show. I know you got a lot to do preparing to get that flight set up to come to Vegas for the Super Bowl. Let people at home know where they could get your stuff. I know you're doing a lot with fitness and you've been a big advocate for human rights and things of that nature. So go ahead and tell the listeners at home where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to find me is on Instagram. It's Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-O-N 310 at Gmail. I'm sorry, at Gmail. Brendan 310. Just Brendan 310. And you can find me on the gram. And yeah, that's probably the easiest way to get my contact information, though.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully we'll have you on the show very soon, hopefully, with the Super Bowl championship to talk about.
Yeah, we'll run it back.
Yes, sir. That's Brendan Iamidejo. He is a three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens. And up next, we'll talk a little bit more about the Ravens game with the Chiefs and get final thoughts on the Ravens Talk podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk podcast. That was Brendan Iamidejo. Gave me some interesting insights in John Harbaugh. I didn't know that he was a lifter. I knew he kept in shape, but I didn't know he was in the gym rocking 225 with the rest of the athletes. So make sure I don't say too much negatives about John Harbaugh in the future. That boy's a stallion. But we move on. We mentioned the Texans and Ravens. Ravens dominated. They did what they had to do. I expected it. I didn't think it was going to be much of a match, much of a contest. Enter the Kansas City Chiefs. The media darling. I mean, how can you not be? Six straight AFC championship games. Patrick Mahomes has two championships under his belt. He has two MVPs. Most likely Lamar Jackson will join him in that category. And he's looking to spoil the show in Baltimore. Now, there are some people who thought the Buffalo Bills were going to beat the Chiefs. And I thought there was a chance, but it was his first road game. And listen, playing on the road in the playoffs is no easy feat. The tough teams do it. How do you win on the road? You better have a good run game. You better have a great defense. And guess what the Chiefs are coming in with? Isaiah Pacheco is looking really good. Their defense is top-notch, and that's got them this far. Gone are the days of Tyreek Hill catching long passes. Gone are the days, really, of Travis Kelce making a superb impact. I still think he's top two in the league as far as tight ends go, but he's not breaking the game as he used to. And, you know, he has receivers. Rashee Rice is blossoming, but he's not there yet. I mean, they have drop concerns and things of that nature. They came in as a three seed. They really struggled early on in the season, but they got hot at the right time. They have a quarterback who's one of one, pretty much, in terms of skill throwing the football. And they're a menace. They're a force to be reckoned with. They made it to the AFC Championship game. I had no doubt in my mind they'd make it. And what better way? You don't just pick the weaklings of the conference. Oh man, I want to play I want to play the lowly Colts and maybe the sad Pittsburgh Steelers and punch my ticket to the Super Bowl. No. You go through the best. Go through an upstart, bona fide Pro Bowler and CJ Stroud, and you go through what many consider to be the best quarterback in the National Football League and Patrick Mahomes. And then you get to go to the Super Bowl. So yeah, you fight for that thing. I'm okay with it. Now, I'm a little confident. I'm not going to lie to you. I've watched the film. I've seen the Chiefs play. I had a feeling, like I mentioned earlier, that the Chiefs would make it. So I've been watching. Chiefs are not great on offense. They have Isaiah Pacheco. Rashee Rice can kill you if you let him. Travis Kelce is a guy that I'm sure Mike McDonald will be paying close attention to this week. And that's where it ends, along with, of course, Patrick Mahomes. Their offense isn't firing on cylinders as usual. They need a playmaker badly. One big one to go opposite Rashee Rice. And, of course, Travis Kelce to come back to being that dominant force on offense. But right now, they're not there. And even if they were, it really wouldn't matter because the Ravens' defense has been playing lights out. If you watched last week's game, against the Houston Texans, you saw a front four that was relentless to the point there, pretty much sometimes Mike McDonald will have Kyle Hamilton in the line of scrimmage, but mostly Kyle Hamilton was playing nickelback or safety. coverage. He didn't need him out there because the front four, Jadeveon Clowney, Calvin Noy, Justin Madubuike, they were just doing their job. They had Arthur Mallette with the blitz, which is the tush push of defense. I mean, it works almost every time, it appears to be. So they have that going in their favor. But for the most part, they have four guys doing the job. Marlon Humphrey has a chance to come back. I know a lot of listeners and watchers will be looking at this in the middle of the week, and we'll have more information as it becomes available in regards to Marlon Humphrey and Mark Andrews' appearance in the AFC Championship game. But if they get Mark Andrews back, if they get Marlon Humphrey back, that gives Mike McDonald so much more room to do things on defense, shift Kyle Hamilton around, and be a problem for Patrick Mahomes, who's, it's hard to disrespect Patrick Mahomes, so I'm not going to even try. But he's not known to be the best of the best in terms of reading post-snap. I mean, he's good. At some points, he's even great. And that has a lot to do with Andy Reid's ability to make things happen with his concepts and philosophies and what have you. But give me Mike McDonald against Andy Reid. I mean, he's in his bag right now. He's coaching like he's fighting for a job right now. I know many people are thinking the Seahawks are a good fit for him, and it's hard to disagree. So he's coaching his butt off right now. I mean, the Houston Texans game was a masterclass in how you coach on defense. A masterclass. So as much as Patrick Mahomes scares you just because of what he's done in the past, and he deserves that respect 100%, the Ravens defense is one of the best. Their DVOA is one of the best ever. Not this year, not this decade, ever. Ever. Historically dominant. Both offense and defense, but especially defense. They're doing things we haven't seen in decades. So yeah. The Chiefs offense, good. With the ability to be great. Ravens defense, historically, monumentally dominant. So I favor the Ravens defense. Now, Ravens offense, you got Lamar Jackson, just had four touchdowns, two on the air, two on the ground. Talk about efficient. Talk about a game changer. Call him what you want. Call him MVP if you got to. He certainly is. But he is going to be a problem that the Chiefs defense is going to have to deal with. Now, I've seen some of the Chiefs faithful say, you know, we dealt with Buffalo. Josh Allen has had a great season, statistically speaking, probably up there with Lamar Jackson. It's not the same. Don't kid yourselves. It's not the same. It's not even close, guys. Not to disrespect Josh Allen, who had a great season, but just watch Lamar Jackson. It's not the same. Watch what Todd Monken's doing with this guy. It's not the same. It's just not. Let's not compare apples to oranges. Let's not do that. Not today. Not this week. So, the Ravens defense, I'm sorry, the Ravens offense, early in the game, the first half, were unprepared. And some of that is not on them. The Houston Texans don't blitz often. In the first half, they blitz almost 72% of the time. That's crazy. And the Ravens were not prepared. And I mentioned this on other podcasts and talk shows or what have you that I've been on since that game. I'm concerned why. The Texans had success blitzing the Ravens in spots in week one. And I was almost positive, based on what the Ravens did against the 49ers and the Dolphins, that the Texans, DeMeco Ryans especially, would come out there and be aggressive. They don't sit back. That's not Ryan's philosophy. I fully expected them to send bodies at Lamar. You want to beat us with your legs? Go for it. We know you can beat us with your arm. We haven't seen you run like that in a while, so go ahead. We're going to make you think. We're going to show you that you have space, and you're going to have to decide, are you going to sit back and pass the ball, or are you going to run? And you better make that decision quickly, because if you don't, we're going to sack you. We're going to make your life a living nightmare.
and we're going to slow things down while our QB, our young QB, gets things going. That was their game plan. And it worked in the first half. But reports are showing, and Lamar Jackson touched on this in the press conference, that he spoke with the quarterback's coach. And I'm sure Todd Monken as well, and said, hey, these guys are blitzing us. We cannot afford to do these long developing routes, not giving our linemen enough time to block these guys. I mean, they're going to get sacked or throw a turnover. We need to give me at least a guy on the flat, some checkdowns, some quick slants, something to get this offense moving, forcing the Texans to hold off a bit on sending guys after me. And in the second half, that's what they did, and the rest is history. They dominated. That's the thing about the Ravens offense. They could beat you so many different ways. They could beat you through the air. They could beat you through the ground. Dalvin Cook looked good. Justice Hill looked very good. So this offense can beat you a lot of different ways. The Chiefs defense, comparable, honestly, to the Ravens defense. And the fact that they are good at morphing. They have a variety of different looks that they can give you. They're not afraid to play man-to-man or zone. Quarters. Cover one, two, three, six. Doesn't matter. They can do all that, whatever they have to do. But they don't have the talent of the Ravens defense, obviously. And you need that talent to stop Lamar Jackson. So I give a decent edge to the Ravens offense. The Ravens defense, big edge. Love Patrick Mahomes. Love what he's done. That defense is special. Ravens offense over the Chiefs defense, slight edge. Which leads me to prediction. What do I think is going to happen? I think the Ravens dominate. I think it's more of the same. I think the Ravens win this game 17-39. 39 points for the Ravens, 17 for the Chiefs. Chiefs put up a good fight, but the Ravens are for real, and we need to really have a conversation. We're going to do that right now about narrative versus reality. Now, as a former journalist, reporter, beat writer, whatever you want to call me, narratives were the name of the game, and I get narratives. Narratives are important. Narratives turn you from a basketball player to Michael freaking Jordan. Narratives turn you from just a normal QB to Tom Brady. That's what narratives are about. So I get the necessity of narratives. The narrative on Lamar Jackson has been, can he win in the postseason? Without that narrative, the win against the Texans would not have been as sweet. Without that narrative, I don't think it would have pushed Lamar as much as it did to have that halftime locker room speech. I truly believe that. I love narratives. But let's talk about reality. The narrative is Lamar Jackson, future two-time MVP, was going against Patrick Mahomes, two-time MVP. The narrative is Patrick Mahomes wants to lift his Chiefs from mediocrity. To be honest, they're just okay this season, to a Super Bowl, which would be amazing. And many fans who don't want another Chiefs Super Bowl are fearful of that, and rightfully so. That's the narrative. Here's the reality. The Ravens are better. They're just better. Historically so. Unbelievably so. So much that I chuckled. I chuckled a little bit watching film of the Ravens against the Texans. It's just, what are we doing here? As of this recording, the line for the Ravens and Chiefs game is 3.5 points. I'm betting money, real money, my money, on the Ravens, easily. Best decision I've ever made. The Ravens are better than the Chiefs. And that's not to disrespect the Chiefs. That's not to say I don't understand the notion of any given Sunday. That's not to say that Patrick Mahomes can't have himself a day where he does things and the Ravens do nothing, falter, and Patrick Mahomes once again heads over to Las Vegas for a Super Bowl championship game. I'm not saying that possibility is out of the realm of possibility. I'm just saying, let's ground ourselves on reality. Let's enjoy the narrative, but take sight of the reality that is the Ravens are just simply better than the Chiefs. They're better than the Texans. They're better than the Lions. And they're better than the 49ers. Let's just call it how we see it. Now, the Ravens can screw the pooch. We've seen teams choke all the time. This would not be the first time a one seed is lost in the AFC Championship if the Ravens were to lose. I'm just saying, those one seeds in the past weren't this good. This Ravens team is probably top five all time. And that's something we're not talking about enough. Look at the stats. Look at the DVOA. I'll let you do your research. Just look at it. It's terrifying. The one question I have is, how did they lose games this year? We'll recap after the season's over. But this is not a four-loss team. This is a 17-18-0, 19-0, going on 20-0, undefeated team in the National Football League. They're that damn good. And they're starting to show it. You saw it last week. So ground yourself in reality. If it's 3-3 in the first quarter, and you're thinking, oh no, this could go either way, understand the team you're rooting for, if you're a Ravens fan. If you're a Chiefs fan, hope for the best. Expect the worst. If you see me right now, I'm wearing this CSN jersey. If you don't know what CSN is, it's the College of Southern Nevada. My brother-in-law is the coach of the track team and the cross-country team there. So shout out to them. But I wore this hoodie to present to you a message. Cross-country is fun. It's not my cup of tea. It's long running. I'm more of a sprinter. But cross-country is great for analogies. It's not the person that starts the fastest that gets the gold. It's the person that finishes best, finishes first. Slow and steady, if you need to. Whatever measure you have to do to get there, the goal is to finish first. Not finish fast, finish first. Not start fast and gas out, finish first. And that's what this whole season's about. Every season in the National Football League is about finishing first. War of attrition is what got the Bills. The Ravens are healthy. Finish first. Get the job done. Lamar Jackson, we talked about it with Brendan Nyabedejo. The narrative of losing in the postseason is still there, kind of. Lamar Jackson, the two-time MVP, he's expected to win. That's the reality. The narrative is Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff's lovely story with the Lions, who I'm rooting for, to be honest. I have friends who are Lions fans and they deserve a championship game. That's the story. The reality is Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, should be able to finish first and finish strong. We'll see. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, Ravens Chiefs. One of those teams are going to the Super Bowl. You heard me. My money's on the Ravens, 39-17, 22-point victory. We'll see what happens. Regardless, we'll talk all about it next week. See you then.